Well, praise God. I think everybody got up, right? Everybody's wide awake. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what. Yeah. 2020 knocked you down. Get up. Got some analogies here in a little bit, but a couple of real things real quick here. Today we'll be praying corporately during service. If you have prayer requests, please fill out a prayer request form located at the info table, or raise your hand and our usher will get you one. And a big thank you to our hospitality ladies for preparing, providing a beautiful meal for those who attended Miss Rosalie's memorial service. Your dishes may be picked up from the conference room center counter. Thank you again for being such a blessing. And next Sunday is Building Fund Offering Day, so thank you for giving as the Lord leads. I do have a couple reminders. It's actually, it will work out in your favor, believe it or not. It's not any, on your tithing offering envelopes, if you've already filled out one as far as address and stuff, you don't have to fill out the address anymore. You can just write your name on it. Just make sure you got your first and last, but you don't have to put your address again because it takes time. I'm even lazier. I just put pastor. Oh, yeah, yeah, and yeah, she does. But, and also, all you have to do is lick the very point of that. It does make it easier, and it saves the envelope, because believe it or not, the IRS doesn't care about our records. They care about those stupid envelopes. So, we got to keep those things. And I think that is it. Praise God. I get to give my tithe this morning. But I'm here to tell you, folks, if you're not, I'm challenging you. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive His promises. We don't do it to get. You need to understand that. I don't tithe to get. I tithe because it's an honor to God. And God made me a promise. Anybody ever had a promise broken? Every last one of us. And sometimes there's reasons why they got broke, but they still got broke. God has no reason to break it. He will always be there for us. Amen. Let's bless this tithe and offering. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity that I can bring you my tithes and I can bring you my offerings. Lord, I do not do it out of legalism. I do it out of love for you, Father, and out of your love for me, you have always provided for me. Now, Father, we present this to you today as holy, as separate. Father, bless it, pressed down, shaken together, and running over according to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated for just a minute. We did have something we wanted to do real quick. I promise, Carter, you can go to class here in a minute. He was running, he was over waiting for the door. Fortunately, he's not big enough to open it. What we would like to do this morning is, a lot of people don't see some of the stuff that goes on behind the scenes, so I would like all the nursery caregivers and all the teachers to come up, all the Sunday school teachers and nursery caregivers. I want you to see who is doing this, okay? So come on up. We got a few of you. There's some of you hiding in the back. Come on up, Matt. You're part of it. I know you go back here. This is the crew that takes care of our children. Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. Thank you. Make sure I got it. Okay. So, you know, when you're like bad-mouthing behavior, understand what you're sending back there is what they have to deal with. No, these are great people, and I've loved watching some of them. I've got to watch grow up in this church, and other churches, some of them I've saw come in, and they made this place theirs. So, but again, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for what you do. All right, now the super kids can be dismissed. Guess who's coming down to the floor where Yes, thank you. Have you ever wondered if what you're doing is the right thing? Anybody besides me? Lord, am I doing this the way you want it? Is this the way it's supposed to be? Well, the other morning, God gave me a dream, and I sometimes have some weird dreams. Sometimes I do blame it on the Lucky Charms I ate that night or whatever. But the other morning, I had a dream, and I'm like, okay, God, what was the meaning of that? I mean, that is just like nuts. I'm harvesting beans with a toy combine, and I'm taking fields off. And I'm but I'm going around to field, and it's taking no time. And those of you that harvest, you understand, it takes time. But I'm just going around to all these tiny fields. And then I look in the hopper. There's no beans in the hopper. Mind you, the hopper's only this big. And I look down, and there's no beans. There should be beans. And I looked in there, and I'm like, oh, man. And I didn't even say a name, but I said, he's going to be so mad. I don't have any. I've lost all of his harvest. I don't have the harvest. And so then I go to my boss, and all I had in the hopper was bean dust. Maybe some broken beans, you know, just chips and pieces of garbage. And I'm looking, I'm like, the beans aren't, I don't know where they went. I'm like, I harvested all the fields. You can go look. It's stubble. Well, last night, the Lord, I think it was Thursday morning or Friday morning, one of the two, God had gave me that dream. And I told Angela about it. I'm like, I have no idea what this means. Am I going to be playing with toys? Which I do from time to time. I may be 50, but I still like to play with my dump trucks, especially if my grandson's involved. And anyhow, but last night as I'm going to bed, and I thought, Lord, why would you wait until midnight to tell me this? So as I laid there awake, but God told me, he said that he was the farmer I was working for. That the instrument that I was using is what he gave me to harvest the fields that other people had turned their back on. See, I was harvesting tiny fields. You know, most farmers will tell you, okay, if it ain't so much ground, it's not worth the time to get the equipment there. Those things cost money to even drive on the road just to get them there. And I don't know, what does a... Dave, do you know what a combine burns per hour, maybe? Bob's not. Oh, yeah, he is. Bob, what does your combine burn per hour? Do you know off the top of your head? All right. All right, so I'll give you, let's say, what, maybe 3 gallons per hour? Be a safe. Okay, yeah, see, there we go. We got the six. 6 gallons of fuel per hour. And so, you know, in my mind, you know, I was thinking, oh, man, I know it costs money to do all this, and I'm doing the work. But God told me that it wasn't the fact I wasn't seeing the harvest. It was the fact that the harvest was already in the storehouse. That when I took it off, it wasn't kept in my little precious little bin. You know, every farmer loves to look back up there in the mirror, step out and look and see the beans and corn up there. But I wasn't seeing that. I was looking at the empty hopper. Now, mind you, I could pick the combine up because I looked at the bottom. I'm like, make sure ain't a hole in it. And it was a toy. It was one of the toys that my boys have. And I'm just like, wow, where'd it go? But God told me that the harvest has been harvested and it's in the storehouse. So I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. All this work I've been doing isn't for naught. And that I'm going to simpler things, not when I say simpler. Most people like to quote Paul when he said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. Childish means selfish. We think putting away having fun, for starters, is putting away childish things. Listen, I may have had a tree fall on me, may have run into a few limbs and bonked my head on a few I-beams and rode roofs down and stuff like that, but I still like to have fun. I just think about it a little bit more now. But we have got to remember that the things that God gave us is what he intended for us to use. I never claimed to be a theologian, but yet God somehow keeps using me. And I'm saying all this, and I'm talking about me because I'm talking about you as well. Put this into your life. What has God given you? We're in a whole brand new year. What changed Thursday night? Did I have the right day? Yeah. Yeah, see, it's been a messed up week. Friday morning. Not one thing. You just got to remember it on your checks to put a one. Everybody got used to writing 2020. Now it's 2021. Nothing has changed. Except we should actually go into this year with a newfound challenge. Like Angela was stating, you know, praise God, that was a word from the Lord. We got to lay down the stuff from last year. We have got to get up. We have got to get ourselves fired. David stirred himself always in the Lord. He did it. If I've got to come and be your cheerleader, you're in trouble. I'm not a cheerleader. I'm the screamer who's going to maybe bite you if it will help. But we have to stir ourselves and we have to get up and motivate ourselves and remind ourselves who our God is, why we're here. The other night, most of you probably watched the football game. I'm glad I was able to find it. But I'm here to tell you that was a championship game. Okay? I think Ohio State proved, and especially Justin Fields proved, I'm here to win. Okay? But you know, most of you know where I'm going. We have got to be kind of like two players on that field, number 47 and number one. 47 said that his daddy told him, he said, when you hit somebody, make them feel it. Now, mind you, his positioning was a little bit illegal now. But if you noticed it, I told Angela, I said, I wasn't for sure certain on all the targeting dimensions and stuff. And I'm like, he lowered his head like a ram. If you ever notice, that ram will drop his head and his spine is in line. That's where your strength is. Your strength is in when everything is in line. You can find people that don't know how to fight because they're the ones with boxer breaks. You know what a boxer break is? It's a ding-dong that hits with this corner of his hand. Because these bones do not connect with the forearm. A boxer who knows what he's doing will hit you right here because he has the full strength of his entire arm behind that instead of these two little fingers. And it takes discipline to do that. But anyhow, but number 47 dropped down. In his mind, he was doing what he had to do to stop from somebody from scoring on him. Unfortunately for Justin, turning might not have been the best position to go into that. That he exposed his weak side. But the resolve of number one afterwards, what Coach Day said, he said, we are not losing this game. And you could see, if you watched, you could see him wince. You knew he was in pain. We have got to be like both of those players, folks. The devil is going to try to score on the body of Christ. And this is for the entire body of Christ. The devil is going to try to get across that line and beat us and tell us we are not worthy to be in the game. We have got to be like Justin Fields in the fact that we get back up and say, you know what, I may be hurting. He couldn't hide it. There's no way. I don't know if they did anybody hear if they were cracked or just severely bruised. I know last year when my ribs were all bruised, I didn't want to breathe. I can't imagine if they were broke, but just bruised and just like, okay, if I sit here, I don't breathe. Don't make me laugh. Oh, no. No, Jesus, no, I don't want to sneeze. It hurts so bad. You know what? Life gets us down. We think we have to paint on all the time a pretty face and nobody sees that we're hurting. That's such garbage. You can't, people can't pray for you. Everything's hunky-dory for me. You know, no, I'm not saying you spread your stuff to everybody. Do not do that. That's not good. But find somebody you can, somebody who can join with you in faith and pray and believe these things. We're going into a time now. We're in a what the what time? What is going on in our government time? We send more money to help countries figure out what boys and girls are than we do to aid the people in the United States. By the way, that's actually scriptural, to take care of yourself. Take the beam out of your own eye first. Airlines have this thing, put your own oxygen mask on before you help your children. Your child ain't going to be able to help you. Okay? But we're in such a time, we have no idea what's coming down. I think there's some things that the Bible has prophesied about to be coming down. And we're going to see, I think, more than what people think we were going to see. Honestly, I'm excited to see it, because it means Jesus is coming back. There's going to be a trumpet, and the dead in Christ will rise, and then we will meet him. As Romans put it, we will be changed. Paul said, not everybody will die, but they will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. This body that's been broken, this body that is susceptible to sin, will change into incorruptible, immortal. You know, we live in such an age where we're all used to watching these movies and stuff where you see a little zing, you hear the chimes go off, and then you see the little stars go over somebody when something happens. That's what's going to happen. If we're still alive at the trumpet, we change in an instant. We will not be the bodies that were subject to sickness, subject to disease, subject to family heritage. Well, Daddy was like this. It ain't got nothing to do with it anymore. You are now immortal. You are now perfect. So as we're going forth this year, one, we have got to remember to be praying. Yeah, I've told you, and I'm going to keep telling you. You can get news, then turn it off. Do not make it higher than the Word of God. If you spend 2 hours listening to the news, you spend 4 hours listening to the Word of God. Why? Because you need it. You can't speak what you don't know. You can't give what you don't have. Sorry about that. It felt like I had my keys in my pocket. If you aren't reading the Word of God for yourself, how are you going to know? How are you going to be able to help people? Well, I got to keep giving them this. I got to keep giving them that. Well, you can give them that, but the problem is you aren't taking anything in. I will vouch for that. Angela will vouch for that. As ministers of the gospel, if we do not, one, take time away and refuel, we will deplete and we will burn out. But as long as we keep taking that time, and even time away from each other, because we are together a lot. I watched a show the other night where it was Mad About You. Anybody remember that show? That was our show in the 90s. And they worked, Paul and Jamie worked on a project together. And their first thought, he was like, no, that's too much time together. We're never apart. Well, and it proved to be, when they got done, he was offered 5 more jobs. And she's like, no, I miss missing you. And so, you know, we have to take our time. We have to go do things that people are like, well, you guys don't do everything together. Duh. When I shop, I know where I'm going. I know what I'm going after. If I'm wandering aimlessly, it's because I'm in the tool section. But women, most of you, a lot of you, you like to just shop. You like to take your time. You like to look. Men, we like to go in, bam. I had all my Christmas shopping done in 2 hours. Boom, it was all done. But, and mind you, she bought for more. She bought for everybody. I just had a few people. But I want to read something to you this morning. I asked God, you know, I was like, okay, everybody always goes for the different things as far as, well, what numbers line up in the Word? Well, I said, okay, God, do you have something you want me to tell the people in that line? Proverbs 3, starting verse 21. Get it? Today's, yeah, okay. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Always keep solid, firm wisdom as what you're looking for. Everybody's getting bent out of shape about this, the price of that. What's happening here? It's smoke. And it's a smoke screen, folks. It's what we're seeing. We're being told one thing on some things, and it's a totally different deal. We can't be stupid. Well, I'm believing this. So, when prophet so-and-so, listen, I don't listen to a word a prophet says until that prophet is proved to be true. Because I've got way too many people speaking this, that, and the other. I believe there's something God told me about Biden. I'm not going to tell you. I've told my wife and I've told a few other people. So that when and if it does happen, they know. I know that I heard God. Was that a prophecy? No. It was something God told me. But not necessarily for me to stand up and to say, thus saith the Lord. Okay? We're living in a time where we will be pulled away. Well, it's sound wisdom for you to listen to prophecy. No, it's sound wisdom for me to listen to the word of the Lord first and foremost. And getting everybody in panic mode is not the word of God. When you're in panic, you can't think. You can act quickly. I can move extremely fast and make quick decisions, boom, 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 and I talk to myself. So if you see something like that ever happening with me, understand this. I'm not panicking. I'm talking it through to myself. I don't need tons of people giving insight on it. I'm trying to work out. I work out my problems by talking. Unfortunately, it is to myself. And myself, well, it isn't me that comes up with great wisdom, is it? But with the pandemic, there's people still panicking. Still, to this day. Well, the vaccine's going to save us all. They've already came out and said, no, it won't. As a matter of fact, there are several people, one of them, one we know personally, who is having some severe problems because of that. By the way, the vaccines today are not the vaccines of when I was a child. Today they are putting aborted fetuses in them. That's my problem. I've been vaccinated against all kinds of things. I got shots. I've been vaccinated for stuff in the Philippines that I don't even know about. To go to Okinawa, I had to go through a series of shots. Everybody went to Saudi Arabia and Desert Storm, Desert Shield. They all had to be vaccinated. But today they are using baby parts in these things. When is America going to wake up? When is the church going to wake up and take a stand and say no? I know vaccines can help. Never using human parts, especially a child that was murdered. We will never receive the blessing of God. So let that be your guide. I get it. My father-in-law vaccinates his cattle against disease. I get it. And it does save the cattle. But the problem is, we're not talking about that. We're talking about something that is made up of other people. And if you don't have a problem with that, I'll tell you what. We'll find the next cremated person and let you throw their ashes and then see if you'll eat fried chicken with your hands without washing. You'd have a problem with it, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? You can shake your heads yes. If you don't, I'm beginning to wonder. You would have a problem eating part of another person, let alone having them injected into your bloodstream. That's the problems. There's a name above all names, and his name is Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us in Isaiah 53:5 that by his stripes we were healed. Doesn't promise us that we're going to be able to walk through sickness and disease and not show up a couple bumps or something. I've had chicken pox. I've had walking pneumonia several times. Done all kinds of things, but you know what? I recovered. We have got to start standing. One, take better care of ourselves. You know, Pat and I were talking about hunting. Right now is muzzleloader season, and I haven't heard one shot. Primarily, it's because of the rain and the cold. And if you're sitting out in the rain today, and you're getting soaked, you're setting yourself up for pneumonia. I don't believe that, bless God, I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't say that it ain't going to reach out and touch you. You have got to be wise. We have got to start taking the things of God and holding on to them as the truth. If we believe them, we believe them. If not, then what are we saying? 2021 will not be any different than 2020 if we do not take a stand and believe. I would love to see equality across this planet. Do I believe there's racism in the police forces? Absolutely, positively. It's in the military too, folks. It's in every branch. But by the way, it's in every culture. We cannot go one side or the other of this. We have to stay in the middle of the road and say it's all garbage. There's a group of people, everybody thinks that they're so precious, they are so godly, and they're the most racist bunch that I've met. Because you aren't around them. You're looking at all their little cute knickknacks. They are bigots. And we glorify them. They reject Jesus Christ, the work he did on the cross. Can they be good people? Absolutely. I'm sure at some time Osama bin Laden was a good person. Hitler was a good person. He had Jewish friends earlier. Did you know that? We do need to get rid of racism. I agree wholeheartedly. But it's going to take people changing hearts. I've told you before, and I'll say this again. I look back and I judge myself. I look at my past and I was a bigot. Yeah, me, your preacher. Had no reason to be. Just was. You know what God did? God's got a great sense of humor. Three out of the five guys who went with me from Cleveland on the MEPS flight were black. I get to Paris Island. This guy could have played football for somebody. I don't care. He was the biggest black man I have ever seen in my life until I got to Okinawa. He took up the entire door and said, "This is my bus. Get off of my bus." He stood there. How do you get off of a bus when he's blocking the doors? People were trying to crawl out the windows and trying to go out the emergency exit. Then I get in there, and my pickup instructors, the instructors that started us off, two out of the three were black. I go to my platoon. Two out of the three instructors were black. I got transferred over because of room. My senior and drill instructor was a black man. You know what God did? He made sure that I had to be surrounded to push that thing out so I would see that they weren't evil. There was no reason to tell jokes. Don't take no offense to this. Well, I'm going to take every bit of offense. I might even take the post and hit you with it. Why do we say that? Don't take offense. If you have to say don't take offense, you're being a... Thank you. But God began to change in me. And, you know, and I never really opened up to her about some of this stuff. But God just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And by the way, I saw it in reverse. I got to see what it was like to be a white man who was not in the majority, who didn't have everything going his way, and white men weren't in control right then. I got to feel what it was like. Until we start looking, I don't see color. Oh, for crying out loud. We're all a different shade of peach or white or whatever color we are. Of course we see the color, but it should never make a difference. I moved into base housing. I think I did share this with her the other day. Had a mixed marriage right next door. That was one of the major pushing points for me, pushing the bigotry out. And you know what did it? Do you know what really did it? Irene. She's about that tall. She was their daughter. Most beautiful and sweet little girl. Except she broke most of my models. Our house was not baby-proof. And Angela was watching her. And I got to be around this child. And in our church was actually talked about in the community by other churches because we allowed other races in. Our associate pastor was black. We had a white and Latino couple. We had a black and white couple. Actually, I had a couple of those. We had lots of black folks. We had lots of white folks. And we had love. See, do I believe it's there? Absolutely. Does it need to be dealt with? Absolutely. But the problem is, until you're ready to take on up here, these little captains aren't nothing. And I'm telling you right now, we can sit here and we can say, well, it's the heart. We need to go into the spiritual realm on this stuff too and go after the powers and the principalities. If we believe the word of God, then we're going to stand. We're going to take discretion. We're going to take God's word. The sound wisdom and the discretion is the ability to make the right call. I've changed a lot. I have changed a ton. I wish I could go back and tell people that I hurt because of that bigotry. I'm so sorry. But the ones I did, they're dead. There's actually only one. I had a roommate. He was black, I was white. He was racist, and so was I. We did not get along. I listened to speed metal, like some people call it death, hardcore metal, the guttural, that stuff. Love the guitars, hate the singing, if that's what you want to call it. He called my stuff swamp music. And to this day, I can't believe I let it fly out, and I said, well, it's better than your jungle music. That could have actually cost me. And I didn't realize until further down that I had hurt him. And then I hurt a roommate, not thinking I was funny. Do I make fun of hillbillies? I am one, but you know what? I probably shouldn't. Just because I am doesn't mean I should. See, that's the kind of discretion we need. How does this apply to me? Apply the word to ourselves first. And then start dealing with us. We want things to change in this country. It's got to start right here. It's got to start right here. The church has got to change this year once and for all. And I'm not talking about we get prayer lines out the wazoo. I'm talking about where people are, the power of God hits them at their homes. And they drop to their knees. The power of God hits us here. We don't look at the clock. We don't care if such and such church beats us to the restaurant. And, oh, wait a minute, just because we're charismatic don't mean we got to be here till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. How about we let God change us and start right here? We were just talking about this morning. I told her, I said, your job as the praise and worship is so more vitally important to me than you can realize. But her job, as when they're leading the praise, is to break up the fallow ground, the hardness of the ground, and open it up for this word. Because if the ground is not plowed up, if the ground is not broken, even no-till has to have something that cuts the ground so that the seed can be deposited. Our hearts are no different. We have to be broken up. We have to be able to get outside of ourselves. And it was only once I got outside of myself that I was able to start having compassion and start realizing what a jerk I was. And still can be. And I work on that. And if we're all honest, we can all be jerks. Here's something I just because we're young doesn't give us a right to say that the generation ahead of us got it wrong, that they're stupid. Every man in here, if you're going to be honest today, you'll know that about 25, you realized your dad wasn't a moron. Same thing with the older generation. You can't look back and call them idiots and think you're right and be mean and crotchety just because you're old. The Bible doesn't justify this treatment on either side. The Bible tells us to be humble, to humble ourselves. I learned things from Pat, and I know Pat's learned some things from me. But we have to humble ourselves in order for that to work. And if you can't humble yourselves, you're never going to work. You'll never get it. My sons have taught me things. Do you know how out of character that is for our world? And it started really young. It started with Joshua. I don't even remember how old he was now. He told me Grandpa's combine had a hitch. I'm like, I painted the rear end on that. It does not have a hitch. And Bobby's sitting over, he starts chuckling a little bit, and I looked over, and you know, I could feel the blood rush out of my head, and he started chuckling. He says, well, he said, it's not really a hitch. It's used for pulling the combine out, but if you needed a hitch to it, you could hitch to it. But Joshua's mind saw a hitch that you could pull, and they do use them. They pull their header carts with them. I'm like, okay, I thought I knew it. I thought I knew things. And I learned from he about 5 years old, I'm thinking. I don't remember how old he was when he got that combine, but and when Joshua started really putting two and two together on equipment. But I've learned a lot from my kids. And what I laugh at is when they get the revelation that I got at one point. Maybe Dad wasn't a moron. Maybe he knew a little bit more. And same thing with everything else. If we can't learn from each other, folks, we're doomed. That's why we're here. We have multiple generations in here. We have things to learn. Otherwise, we will repeat them. I'm not just drinking the Kool-Aid. Why am I drinking? Oh, by the way, did you know it was actually Flavor-Aid? It was not Kool-Aid. Historical fact for you. Kool-Aid got a bad name, but Flavor-Aid was the point, was the bad boy. But you see, what happened? Somebody used the term drinking the Kool-Aid. It wasn't even Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid had nothing to do with it. It was Flavor-Aid. But we teach wrong things, thinking we're right. And right now, I'm afraid we got so many people that are trying to teach what they want to happen to be the gospel, and it is not. This world is going to come unglued. Are you hearing me? It has to come unglued in order for a beast to rise out of the people to govern it. And out of those nations, there is going to be one nation that will rise up, because that nation will have looked as it had gotten shot in the head. The Antichrist is not getting headshot. Do you understand? He is not going to be. It was one of the 10 heads. One of 10. And out of that, he recovered. Me personally, it's a country that's in financial crisis and has lost its leadership. And it will recover. But when it recovers, look out. I pray it's not the United States. I really do. We have done a lot, but we've also allowed a lot. If you think I'm kidding, I'm telling you, we have allowed racism in the church. Both white and black, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, whatever. I get that sometimes the people hold churches like Koreans and Chinese and Japanese, because a lot of them still speak their native language strong. I get that. But when we look and say, you can't come in because you're the wrong color, there's a huge problem. I would love to look out here and see a sea of people. And we actually do, but we still have a very strong European base. And that's what happens when you have a lot of white people. We all came from Europe. Let me finish this. 22. So they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. We're all trying to figure out how we can be smarter than the devil. Well, first thing I'll tell you can do, shut your mouth. I have always used this, but there's a saying, God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. If you will listen, many of the things that I teach you are things that I have actually heard come out from people. They don't realize what's coming out. I would love. It will be great. I'm just going to say it this way. It will be great when all of God's people can come together. And we aren't looking at each other and saying, well, I don't want to stand next to them. we do not start letting love be our guide. And the first thing you have to do is you have to judge yourself. I read it to you out of the Sermon on the Mount. You have to judge who you are first, or you'll never have discretion. Never. I couldn't stand up here today and tell you I was a bigot. Wasn't it part of any parties or anything? I had antiquated mountain people ideologies. And it breaks my heart when I hear the body of Christ tell jokes that actually are tearing people down. It's really hurtful to people. We don't realize we did it, but yet we did it. I've even realized that I've hurt people that I was just trying to be funny, and I crossed a line, and it was stupid on my behalf. I've judged myself, and I am going to be putting a tighter smackdown on my mouth. But the one thing we will do, the one thing I am prejudiced against, is the devil. Me personally, I'm tired of the same old, same old. By the way, if you want Washington, D.C. to change, you got to change locally first. Because that's how people get to Washington, D.C. Starts here. Who do we start supporting? What senators are we sending? You need to put senators in there who are willing to fight. By the way, we can put this meme on Facebook all we want that we believe in term limits and that Congress should do that. Congress is never going to cut their own throat. Ever. I'm curious, and I may pray about finding out how to do this, or maybe by somebody listening to this, they know how to get it going, that the states make it a law that their senators and their congressmen get 2 terms and no lifetime retirement. The states. I also believe that each county should have its own electoral vote, and that the majority then gets cast from the state. I didn't vote like Columbus. Most of Michigan didn't vote like Detroit. We went to Michigan. I forget how long the drive was. We saw 4 Biden signs. But all the way up, it was Trump. Through Indiana and up into Michigan, all the way to Traverse City. All those people got their votes taken away by a city. Like I said, I'm just saying that. You want to make things really fair? Make it to where your vote actually does count. Can't help it, I love living in the country. I will not. I thought Mount Gilead was too city for me. 15 years. And it was fine until God settled that I settled me down. God didn't settle me down. I had to settle myself. That God said, now you can go. So if I could have the prayer request, if you got any. I'm in just kind of a bit of a mood to give the devil a black eye today. How about you? I want to see the church coming out of 2021 victorious, not limping. We may take a, we're probably going to take a few punches, take a few shots, but bless God, when we walk down the road, we're going to be walking like the spirit of liberty. Oh, wait a minute, that's Dixie. No, Dixie got defeated. Yes, Yankee Doodle. But I believe that the church will rise up glorious because we're willing to judge ourselves and willing to change. And if we're not willing to do that, then those churches, y'all do remember the parable of the wise virgins, right? I know it's real easy for everybody. You should be able to figure the math out. There were 5 wise, 5 foolish, total of 10. The 5 foolish were cast out. What was the percentage rate? 50% were rejected because they didn't judge themselves and prepare themselves. I don't have enough oil. I need to get more. I can't give you my oil. I can't give you my ability to hold on. You got to do it yourself. By the way, you know how the devil's going to try to keep people out? Keeping churches closed.